No games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGivern.
Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Tony Resch, Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside my co-host this week, the Executive Director for the WFCA, Dan Brunner. Dan, before we get to Tony Resch, you know, the WIAA is the butt of a lot of jokes. And a lot of people don't like this, don't like that. I like Wade. I think he does a good job. I think he's a good ambassador for you guys.
Wade's a past president of the WFCA, and he bleeds football. I mean, Wade is a football guy.
Yes, he is.
And he not just football. He is for athletics and all the positive things that come out of it, and he's a great guy.
First time I ever saw him in person, I felt bad for him. He was in a courtroom with Mesmer High School.
I remember.
And he was sitting next to Franklin Gimbel. Yeah. And the attorney that Mesmer had, I was watching him, and I didn't think he was really engaged. And all of a sudden, Wade got up on the stand, and this guy was like a few good men. You can't handle the truth. Yeah. And I thought, oh, man. And I talked to Wade after that, and he was like, nah, that went okay, you know, where I'm fine. But he got, you know, the guy asked him, well, two sentences ago, the third word, you said this, but did you really mean this? And I thought, oh, my goodness. He had, you know, sweat coming off his eyebrows type stuff. And, you know, Mesmer got to play, and you know, that's how that thing worked out. But I felt bad for him being put in that spotlight because it wasn't him who had told Mesmer that. So, on some of our other shows, WIA gets ripped pretty good, and when they deserve it, we rip him pretty good here, but Wade, I enjoy him and thank him for coming on in studio with us. And these shows, this show could not happen without guys like Tony Resch. And I'm proud to call him my friend, and I love the work that he does with Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Tony, how are you today?
Fantastic, Mike. Thanks for having me.
It's good to see you. It's good to see your son, Mason. Mason, how you been?
Not bad.
Yeah, it's good to see you. What's going on with you guys? Busy this time of year?
Really busy this time of the year. You know, we're back to 24/7, 365 fundraising. In the past, tended to be a very seasonal thing, but due to the good work that we do and people needing to raise money for safe equipment, for good looking equipment, for travel expenses, whatever it may be, it's an ongoing process, and we're excited about where it's headed.
You know, working with you and getting to know you as I have the last couple of years. Your brain is just moving all the time. I mean, you walked in here after the first segment that we talked to the guys about On the Dot, and you said, hey, look, I want to get involved in that. And I'm sure when you were listening to it as you were driving in, you were going, okay, how can I help these guys? How can I help make youth football safer? How can I? Is that how you've been with your entire career?
Yeah, my mind is it's a blessing and a curse. My wife calls me the biggest font of useless information on the planet.
That's awesome.
But we're always trying to do more. We're always trying to make as much of a positive impact on the world as we can. And Brian and
James
and John, great men. I've known them for a long time, and that On the Dot program is on the dot without question. And I've coached youth football for about 20 years, and safety is always number one. And so we definitely have already partnered with them on some things, but I talked to them on the way in, and what we'd like to do for any youth football teams out there looking to fundraise, whether you work with us or you're looking to work with someone, we have partnered with them officially as I walked in the door here. You will be able to earn free On the Dot product when you fundraise with us as a bonus to get those guys
Brunner, how
going.
Are we getting paid on this thing? Brunner, we're like matchmakers. We put people together. And then
percentage, nothing.
No, nothing. I don't think we're
no
doing
finder's fee.
We got to make sure. We got to hire an agent or something.
Franklin Gimbel.
I don't know about that one. Maybe we'll go somewhere else, but maybe.
You know, Mike, you know, talk about Tony. I first met Tony long, long time ago when I was coaching at Hartford. And what's interesting, you know, he's classified as fundraising and leadership development. But even more so than pushing the fundraising aspect, Tony was all about leadership development. And that was the most impressive thing. When I first met Tony Resch, it wasn't just about making a buck or, you know, selling his product. It was all about leadership development and improving kids just like coaches do. You know, he's basically a coach behind the coach. So, I mean, that's an impressive thing about Tony Resch.
Do you know the leadership development thing? And Tony, we certainly want to make sure that people understand what you guys do. But the leadership development thing intrigues me as a coach. And you talk a lot about servant leadership. And you talk about how important that is. And I have not been able to get out to one of your meetings yet. But I know coaches who have, who walk away ready to go. I mean, they're ready to figure out to get these kids to be the best kids they can be off the field, off the court, and that's really important to you.
Yeah, it's extremely important. I mean, you know, as a coach, why do we do what we do? It's great to win. We're all competitive. We like to win on the field, but winning in life is way more important than winning on the field. So we have what we call influence meetings. We bring in the best of the best coaches, and it's not because they're winning state championships every year, but their teams, their program, and their culture is so successful that you can plug in any kid. Dave Keel doesn't have the best players every single year. Clay Iverson doesn't have the best players every single year, but they have a program in place, and there's a high level of accountability, but there is a super high expectation and level for character. Because what are you going to do 10 years from now? Are you going to be in the NFL like J.J. Watt? Probably not. Steve Jones has one of my favorite quotes. People say, how are you looking this year, coach? And he'll say, ask me in 10 years. Ask me in 10 years how my team was this year.
Right.
Are those young men stand-up citizens in the community? Are they being a great role model as a father, as a parent, as a husband, in their place of work? What do they bring to the table? So we've had coaches from around the state. Again, the Clay Iversons, the Dave Keels, Pat Cerrone at UW Oshkosh. That man will get your hair on fire. He is a dynamic speaker. Fritz Rauch now at Arrowhead. Jeremy Korth, Steve Jones.
Naming some of the best of the bench,
yeah,
right there.
And Coach Korth and Coach Jones and Coach Westerman up at Bayport, they all teach leadership as an elective at their high schools. They get the dynamic information from kids directly on how they can be impactful.
Tony, I think, and I could be wrong, and Dan, you can correct me, but I think that just about, I'd say 90% of coaches want this for their kids, but probably 10% know how to do it and how to implement it. And what they need is to have somebody say, look, this is how we do it. And here's a template for what we do here or what we think works in our program. And guys can cherry pick what they want to do. But I think where you come in on something like this is for coaches who want to do it and they just don't know how to start.
Yeah, we've tried to have the influence meeting be something where, you know, the Coaches Association does such a great job with their clinic. 95% of it is X's and O's. Steve Jones did a great job with his leadership speech this year. I think there were 500-600 coaches.
Yeah, it was packed.
I think coach. So we're trying to give another forum, another platform for like-minded people to come together. And this isn't just about football. This is about any coach of any sport, because the stuff that's being brought to the table is so dynamic. If I could, a couple of quick stories. Coach Hinkins, Dave Hinkins up at Xavier, right, for Huddle. Everybody that's a football coach knows Dave. He does a thing that he calls Mother's Day and Father's Day practice. And I think this is something that every coach could benefit from. He brings in the moms. It's not on Mother's Day because football season's obviously nowhere near Mother's Day. The first half of practice, the moms shadow their kids, so they get an opportunity to learn a little bit about what that kid's expectation is, how he plays linebacker or defensive back. He also gets to see the dynamic between the coach, the position coach, and their son, so they know whether these guys are really, you know, doing a nice job for their kids. In the second half, the moms actually participate in practice. They're holding dummies. They're running pass patterns. They're catching passes. They're getting handoffs. But the cool part, which I really think moves the needle in ways that you can't even measure, at the end of practice when coach does the breakdown, he brings in the whole team. The moms are there, and he brings up Jimmy. Jimmy, come on up here. It's time to fill the gas tank. And Jimmy looks at him a little puzzled. This is an opportunity, Jimmy, for those times when maybe you don't get your chores done at home, or you come in a little after curfew, tell us, share with us why you love your mom. What is so special about your mom that makes her the person she is?
Right.
So now you've got a teenage boy in front of all of his peers, assistant coaches, and all these moms. So he's got to be, you know, he can't just say, well, I love my mom. It's got to be some meaning behind it.
Right.
So then he says, hey, mom, come on up here. Give your son a hug. That was pretty awesome. Mom, please share with us what makes your son special. So there's not a dry eye in the house, but the impact that has. Coach said, when I need something done, I call one mom and every phone is lit up like a Christmas tree. The depth of family and buy-in to that program, Coach Hinkins could do a lot wrong and earns a lot of gravitas with that.
Well, and Tony, can you imagine what Friday nights are like in the stands at Appleton Xavier?
Right.
It's not like some schools
right.
where everybody's a Monday morning quarterback and you know they're second-guessing everything that's going on. You don't think that community is 100% behind Dave Hinkins?
Yeah, it is crazy.
Yeah, that's a great story. We're going to get more. Can you stay one more segment?
Please.
Beautiful. Let's do that. He is Tony Resch. He is the owner of Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. We are presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host this week, Dan Brunner, Executive Director of the WFCA. We're joined in studio by Tony Resch, his son Mason, in studio. Thank you for that story with the leadership stuff. You guys are doing really good work with it. Is that two parts of your business, correct?
Two parts.
And I know that you have to do really well in the fundraising in order to live, but the leadership part is the part where I think your heart is at. Am I correct on that?
You know, one of the things we talk about is lighting a fire inside of someone's heart instead of under their feet, because under their feet, there's a lot of things that can get at it and it goes out. Once it's inside, though, it stays there. So the servant leadership part of thing, you know, to lead, you must first serve.
Correct.
And so that's really a passionate thing. I mean, I appreciate the kind words that Coach Brunner shared earlier about when he first met me, because it's been about leadership ever since. You know, we don't just drop off fundraising forms or drop off cards and say good luck and see you in a few weeks. We try to take as deep a level of approach in developing character in young people as possible. So I would say it's a motivator.
What's the response, if I can, Tony, from guys that are used to just having stuff dropped off for them? They go out and sell a bunch of candy bars and then make whatever they make and never really get to know the people they're working with. When you walk in and you lay this out for people, their response has got to be, you got to be kidding me. I get all this and I'm going to make a little bit more money?
Yeah, we've gotten some, you know, I would call it ridiculous response. I'm shocked at how some people out there in the fundraising world run their companies. It's a big numbers game for
right.
them. And we definitely are not a numbers kind of company. We want to help groups make as much money as they can. We've got the mechanisms, the products, the solid service that follows it all up. So, yeah, people are pretty surprised that we pay the highest profits in the industry and we incentivize kids like crazy to go out when they do a great job. I had a kid in Kaukauna 2 years ago sell 600 boxes of cookie dough. One kid. That's more than our average cookie dough sale if you took everybody
wow.
and put them into a big pot and divided it out. So we do some Kaukauna. Special things.
I got to head up to Kaukauna. Maybe they got some.
There is something in the water and the air for everybody that would know what that means for Kaukauna.
RaisingTheStakesInc.com. RaisingTheStakesInc.com. If you want more information on Tony and his company, you changed your website. It looks good.
Yeah, we made some upgrades to our website. We are in the process of getting some more leadership information on there. Right now,
right.
we've got some of the things I just talked about with the Mother's Day practice. There's some other information that is readily available, and as time goes on, we'll certainly continue to add to our leadership So people have resources, and we'll keep everybody posted on our upcoming influence meetings as well.
Hey, and you guys just don't – it's not like you just say, okay, all we have is you're going to sell cookie dough and you'll make this. You have a number of creative ideas for schools, teams, organizations to make money.
As someone who has been a coach now for 20 years, who's been a parent for a long time, and who's been a very former athlete, I think I have a good perspective overall of all the different things parents have to go through. You know, in the springtime now, it's a little tougher to fundraise because kids have fundraised 2, 3, 4 times if they're in band or choir or in another fine art. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. So we've actually developed a new online fundraiser. Grafton, Sean Barron, the new football coach, coming in, taking over for Fritz, needed to raise some funds, and we did an online support the troops where we take care of raising the stakes, takes care of shipping out socks and baby wipes and snacks. We've done it for 3 years now. We're over 20,000 troop options that have been selected, but on our Making a Difference page on our website, if you scroll to the bottom, I'd urge you to check out all the great things that we've done for kids with cancer and our troops along the way. But on the bottom, people can pay for our troop option online with credit cards. And in a 2-week period, for roughly a 10-minute fundraiser, kids literally got forwarded an email and had to forward it to as many kids as possible. Coach is going to make over $2,000 for kids to participate in just a 10-minute fundraiser.
Tony, just a quick question. With budgets being the way they are nowadays at various school districts, do you find fundraising becoming more of a priority for the football coaches compared to years past?
Yeah, when I first started 13 years ago in the fundraising industry, I believe when you and I first partnered together, the school district had enough money for a lot of your equipment needs and jersey needs.
Yep.
We raised money for some other
supplemental things,
and it's come full circle. I mean, the budgets have been stripped. There's not much money there. There's programs that have to self-fund now, and it's become even more vital and more crucial. And that's why we try to stay on the cutting edge and make it as easy as possible to make the most money in the shortest amount of time possible.
You know, and I was just made aware of it's not just the smaller districts. There are some pretty prestigious programs that have relatively zero for their football budgets and are pretty much self-sufficient.
Yeah, they're all over the place. It doesn't matter if you're up in Howard's Grove, where Dave Schmid's the athletic director and football coach, and they've got a small community, and you know, they don't need as much as Arrowhead or Hartford or some of those big schools. But across the board, these guys need – and again, I don't want to – everybody seems to think that raising the stakes is just about football. Certainly, we do a phenomenal job in football, but there is not a sport.
Right.
We just ran a fundraiser with the Racine County 4-H, and they did quite well. So if you're a church group nonprofit, we are happy to help out. But, yes, Coach, every school, every sport seems to have a huge need.
I'd like to know what you did with those supplemental funds back in those days, but we'll talk about that when we get to a break. Tony, thanks. Mason, how you doing? Everything's good?
Yep.
Yeah, eighth grade is just about done, huh?
Yeah.
You excited?
No.
No? You don't want to go on to high school?
Not really.
It's nice to be the big man on campus right now, right?
Yes.
Because from there you go to be a freshman. And though physically you're a big boy, you're a first-year guy, you're no longer the king of the castle, man.
Nope.
Are you playing baseball?
Yes.
How's that going?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I talked to your dad. He said you either walk the guy when you're pitching, either walk him or strike him out.
No.
No? The guy's starting to hit it a little bit?
Don't pitch as often.
You don't? No, playing first base or what?
Yep.
Hitting the ball well?
Yep.
Yeah? You're enjoying this. I envy you, as I'm sure Dan does. Get to watch your boys play.
Yeah, proud papa. Mason's a very good kid. His teachers love him. Adults really give us praise about how well he handles himself. But I have to give him some props. He just set the North Middle School in Menominee Falls, the shot put and discus record. His mother's a 4-time national champ.
Whoa.
I won a pool tournament once. So
yeah, there you go.
But Mason threw.
You cheated at that. So.
I did. But Mason threw 43 feet 11 inches in the shot put in eighth grade, standing throw, and then 111.3 in the discus. So he's following in his mommy's footsteps, and he's a five-sport athlete.
And he's a good-looking kid, so where did he got that from?
That's
her,
definitely from her, too. Yeah, I really had little to do with it. The mailman's looking better and better all the time.
Yeah, it's not right, not with him here. Hey, Tony, it's always good. I can't thank you enough for your partnership to this show. Everybody knows you. Everybody just adores the work that you do. A lot of respect for you as a man and for your company. Thank you for giving back like you do to these guys. And without your partnership with this kind of stuff, we can't get it done. So thank you for that.
Oh, no, thank you. We appreciate every opportunity to do what we can to make the world a better place. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you and Coach Brunner and the WFCA. We have a great time at that clinic and try to take care of as many people there as possible.
Yeah, you
so
do.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for bringing up Tom Swiddle.
Yeah.
He sent us a picture of his feet by a pool saying it's 85 in Vegas. So
yeah.
Brunner's so good, I may tell Swiddle to stay
there. Right.
Yeah, solid.
It's good to see you, Mason.
Great to see you.
Keep up the good work, young man. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. We are presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Hey, Dan, our next guest, and he's a guy that you think pretty highly of. He is the new head coach at the University of Wisconsin Lacrosse. He is Mike Schmidt. Hey, Mike, thanks for a few minutes of your time.
Gosh, I couldn't be happier to be on with you guys. We've been we were trying to get on at the combine with you guys, and we didn't work out there that weekend with our staff and where we were at, but so happy to be with you today.
Yeah, welcome, Mike.
Thanks. Good to hear from you, Dan. How are you?
Doing well.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Mike, Mike McGivern and I were just talking about your coaching pedigree, and you know, and I told him, you know, you've been around some phenomenal coaches, and you know, what I would refer to as a rising star in the coaching profession, and you know, we just really look forward to seeing what you're going to accomplish at Lacrosse.
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky and pretty fortunate to be around the guys that I have been. You know, I was part of Coach Hoffner's first year at Mankato as a graduate assistant and got a chance to see, and obviously they've done just tremendous things there and got a great chance to learn from a great staff. I mean, just the guys even on defense that I worked with when I was there. Joe Klannerman's out at North Dakota State. Brian Bell's down in New Mexico State. Luke Schleissner is at South Dakota State. I mean, the list goes on that I had a chance to be around there and got a great start. And obviously, I was around Coach Zweifel, and he's a legend.
Yeah.
He's the man. He's the guy. And that was huge. And he gave me an opportunity that I'll be indebted to him for the rest of my life for, that he you know, saw a lot of talent and some promise to take me with him to the University of Dubuque. And when we got to Dubuque, it wasn't a great spot. And we had a good shot to kind of make our mark and really turn a place around that hadn't had a lot of success. And obviously, Coach has done just a wonderful job there. And I can't say enough good things, funny things. We could talk for hours.
Oh, about absolutely.
And all the things that I think about him and how great he is. I mean, I really look up to him like a dad, like a mentor. He's just a phenomenal coach. And then I had the opportunity to jump the river and go to Platteville with Coach Emmendorfer. And there's a guy that had a chance to reinvent himself and really the entire athletic department there. And really a cool opportunity to see all that work for a year and get the opportunity to come back to Lacrosse. And couldn't be happier where we're at. Certainly just a huge job ahead of us on what we're trying to accomplish and the level we're trying to get back to. And I mean, this has really been the position that I've been trying to set myself up for my entire career and get an opportunity this early. I didn't think it would come this early. It's pretty quick, but I think that a lot of the experiences, a lot of guys that we've been around can really, we'll draw on all that stuff as we move forward here.
You know, Mike, sometimes the Lord has plans for us that we're not sure we're ready for, but trust me, there is a plan. Hey, can we talk a little bit about your background, and then we'll talk more about lacrosse football. You graduated from Menominee High School, and then did you go to the University of Dubuque for college?
No, I actually, I'm a UW all along. So I went, I played football at UWL, played football and baseball. I was actually a four-year starter on the baseball team and a couple-year starter on the football team. But, yeah, coming out of Menominee was a huge deal. I mean, that was, I was part of Coach Labuda's last state championship team there. So pretty cool. I've had a lot of neat opportunities at a lot of great programs so far, just whether it's playing or coaching, really.
Yeah, that's awesome. How early on did you know that you wanted to get into the coaching side of it?
You know, I kind of always wanted to be a coach, but to be totally honest with you, I was greedy. I wanted some money, and I was watching around. I'd see everybody. I'm like, boy, these guys aren't making any money. And you know, I went to college, and I majored, and I kind of floated around. I was pre-law for a bit, and I'm like, I don't really want to do that. Let's go to business. And so it was marketing and finance, and, like, I kept fighting it. And I always knew I wanted to do it, but just kept fighting against it. And finally, I sat down, and at the end of the year, I'm like, I don't care. We'll figure this thing out. We're going to go into coaching. And my wife, who I had just begun dating at the time, my wife's just the greatest woman in the world, and she's a music teacher and has a music background. So our house is like where worlds collide, right? Like, that's kind of the two most opposite things coming together. But, you know, she was totally on board with it and has supported it the whole way. And it really was, there's some moments just in my senior year that I'm like, gosh, how can you live without football? How can you not have that in your life? And then, you know, you get into it and you go, I'll never forget, you know, we won a conference championship at Dubuque, the first one they had won there in 37 years. And you know, I'm still really early in the process. It was like my third year as a coach. Coach Leibel gave me the opportunity to be the defensive coordinator that early when I was 24 years old. And we won a conference championship. And you know, really, it wasn't the success, but it was really the impact that we were making on the lives of those guys that, you know, really ramped it up even more with it.
Again, we're talking to Mike Schmidt, head football coach at UW Lacrosse. Hey, Coach, are you thinking about putting, your own stamp on the offense at Lacrosse? You're going to be slinging the ball all over the field, or you're going to pound it out? What's your thought on that?
You know, we actually hired, you talked about a dynamo in our profession, and I'm not really sure how we got a chance to get a guy that's this good. We hired Jake Landry as our offensive coordinator, and he spent the last 3 years at Northern Illinois working with the quarterbacks. And, you know, he brought his offense in here. It's exactly what we're looking like, moving the pocket all over, a lot of horizontal trade shift and motion pre-snap to work the ball vertical post-snap. And, for the spring, we averaged over three plays a minute in our team sessions. I mean, it is it's flying. It's fast. It'll be up-tempo, no huddle, everything from the sideline. So I'm not sure how I feel about that defensively yet on how we got to get all our work in there. But we got a great one with Jake Landry as our offense coordinator. So that's, you know, if you were to look at anything that Northern Illinois is doing, that's exactly what we're going to be doing. You know, obviously we're not going to be Northern Illinois, but we're going to that's the flavor that we're going to have on the stage.
Hey, Mike, this show once high school football starts, I do a high school football coaches show, and we like to have on coaches from throughout the state of Wisconsin. But there's only one rule, and that is at least 75% of their roster has to be Wisconsin kids. And I look for these college coaches to give our boys from the state of Wisconsin a chance to play at the next level. And I'm sure that that's right up your alley.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we have a unique situation where even within the league, that we kind of have to be really good in Wisconsin in recruiting and getting those kind of kids. You know, we don't have a big price break. We don't really even have a price break at all for Illinois. We've got reciprocity with Minnesota, and obviously we're right on the border with where we're at, but we're still 2.5 hours away from the Twin Cities.
Right.
I mean, we've got to make our roster is going to be made up of Madison, Milwaukee, and you know, hopefully a lot of the Valley and Big Rivers kids as well as you work north. But that's where we're going to be from. We don't have a price break with Illinois. We're going to have to really do well in the state of Wisconsin. We have to do well. And traditionally, if you look at Wisconsin, I mean, just had lunch with or dinner with Mike Maslowski the other day, who was a great linebacker, played for the Chiefs, was part of our 95 national championship team here at La Crosse. You know, it's those kind of guys from Thorp, Wisconsin, and wherever, you know, all the places that we have to be made up of. And historically, that's what we've done well with, is guys from all those programs. And there's no doubt that we're going to have to be good in Wisconsin. More than 75% of our roster is going to be from there, which is interesting because where I've been at the last couple of years, Dubuque and Platteville. I mean, we're mostly Chicago kids.
Right.
We're mostly Illinois and Chicago type players, where it's not going to be our niche at La Crosse. It's going to be all Wisconsin kids. I mean, we're going to be – we have a 104-man roster. We're going to be probably 85 to 90 will be from the state of Wisconsin, going to have to be, and that's probably the way it's going to be moving forward for the time that I'll be here.
That's awesome. We're talking to Mike Schmidt. Mike, can we hold you over for one more segment?
You bet, absolutely.
He's the new head football coach at UW La Crosse. That sounds good, doesn't it, Mike?
Oh, gosh. We're still undefeated, so this honeymoon phase, we can just keep doing all of that kind of stuff as long as we can.
You know, your wife loves an undefeated coach, man. That's the key. I'm a high school basketball coach. I tell people I truly believe there's a special place in heaven for coaches' wives, man. I believe that because they put up with a lot with us idiots, don't they? My goodness.
My wife is going straight to the front of that line, trust me.
That's awesome. Again, we're going to hold over Mike Schmidt, head football coach at UW La Crosse, for one more segment. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save WFCA show, presented by Raising Stakes Fundraising. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside Dan Brunner, my co-host this week, sitting in for the vacationing Tom Swiddle. Telling you, he sends me another picture with his feet by the pool, 80 degree weather. I'm gonna just delete him forever. Hey Dan, thanks a lot for joining us, man. I appreciate your help today.
Hey Mike, got a quick question for you. You're now back in the WEAC as a head coach, and Mike touched on this before in terms of recruiting Wisconsin kids. What is it, in your estimation, that makes the WEAC such a premier Division III league in the country?
Well, there's no doubt that it's because of our high school football in our state. I mean, there's just not even a question that that's the number one reason that we have such a deep talent pool of kids that want to be a part of this. And it's great talent. I mean, you know, in the past, although we didn't have the NSIC and didn't have the predominance of some of those conferences, maybe in Minnesota and some other Division II areas. And so all the kids stayed here in the state. It's tremendous academic institutions, and we've got a great one here at La Crosse. And, you know, I think the other part that kind of goes along with that is the work that was done on all the people that came before any of us right now, of the promotion of the league, that it's good football. People go and see it. It's important. I mean, I was recruiting the state of Iowa and even sometimes the state of Illinois, where it's like, hey, we don't necessarily want to go play if it's not for money. It's not this, you know, they don't take Division III football as seriously just as a group. And in Wisconsin, it's completely different. I mean, the promotion and the publicity and the importance and really then the top value that comes out of the Wisconsin League. I mean, it's just where we've got great schools and great talent to choose from in our state. There's just no doubt that combination makes us so unique in that regard from the rest of the schools across the country.
Hey, Mike, I've had the chance to spend some time up in the La Crosse area. And for student athletes from the Milwaukee area, if they have not gotten a chance to go into La Crosse and see just how beautiful that city is, that's what a selling point for you guys. If you can get a kid on campus, it's a great campus. It's a beautiful town. I think La Crosse is one of the prettier cities in the state of Wisconsin. Once you get them on campus, I would think you've got a pretty good chance to get them to come play for you.
No doubt. I mean, there is literally no other place in the world I'd rather live. I mean that sincerely. I love the city. I went to school there. My wife's family's all from there, so I have a total bias, obviously, with that. But, I mean, we've got such a unique blend that not only the city, of course, we're trying to promote our city as much as we can because it is the finest. You know, we've got the best public institution in Division III in the state of Wisconsin. That's not even, it just is. And I think we've got the best city out of any of our schools in the league. It's the unique combination of the Bluffs, the river, the downtown, and truly, truly the atmosphere that is there. When you think about college, I mean, when you think about going off and you have the collegiate atmosphere, the academic competitiveness, and then, you know, add in the football tradition. When you add all those things together, it is lacrosse. I mean, when you think about college, your vision of college is UW lacrosse. And so that is a palpable thing when you step foot on campus at our place. You can feel that. And, yeah, getting the guys here, I mean, when I first got on board, we had 10 consecutive guys commit on the spot. I mean, it was just 10 consecutive really good players from the state of Wisconsin committed before they even left.
Hey Mike.
That
hey,
they can feel that.
Hey, Mike, do you remember the night that they held the press conference and – you're a Cleary alumni and Field Center on the campus. Do you remember going to bed that night and pinching yourself? You had to be thinking, you got to be kidding me. This is unbelievable.
I still am. I still am. It's been pretty amazing in that regard. You know, it was a dream come true to have that happen. That it's, you know, even sometimes I catch myself, you know, thinking about that. I drive in. Every morning when I drive in, I go downtown before I come to work as the sun's coming up, go downtown and drive around the city. I just, you know, I'm just very appreciative of the opportunity and certainly understand the gravity of what happens now because it goes to your desk. The responsibility of the success of your program and the type of people you're putting out, it comes into our office now. And
you've moved
your name on it, and that's just a huge responsibility. So I would describe it as anxiety, maybe.
Sure.
Yes, I'm very excited about it, but at the same time, there is a gravity. There is a very serious nature to just the responsibility that you have.
We talk in basketball that moving over 6 inches, you know, on the bench from an assistant coach to a head coach, that's a long 6 inches, man. It is a big step. And in football, the same way, you know, everything's coming across your desk now. And, you know, you're a young guy, man. We wish you the best of luck. I hope that you guys are able to come in, you know, to the state of Wisconsin, get the best players you can. Continue recruiting these kids because we're all about giving our kids a chance to play at that next level. And, you know, Joe Cook, who was my assistant or my co-host on my high school football coaches show, used to tell kids, you know, you're going to take a $2,000 scholarship to go up someplace in the middle of the state of Minnesota when the best Division III football is right here in the state, and your family can come watch you play. It's a 3-hour drive. What are you thinking? And I look, I'm carrying that message to these kids. If you get a chance to get up on the campus at La Crosse, get a chance to meet Coach Schmidt and his staff, I would highly recommend that.
I would concur.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mike, good luck with all this.
Great. Thank you, guys. Hope to see everybody down at the state track meet in a couple weeks. We'll have a bunch of activity going on there for that, too.
Hey, make sure that you take good care of those kids and your wife now. It's the off season. Be a good guy now.
I'm in Dubuque today. I had to come home and be a dad and those kind of things. So it's very scheduled time off to come and see them. Then we'll hit back recruiting on Monday. But
that's awesome.
Great. It's with the kids and my wife.
That's Mike Schmidt, head football coach, UW Lacrosse. Mike, have a good weekend. Dan Brunner, thank you so much, man. It's always
my
good
pleasure.
To see you.
Yep, my pleasure.
Yeah, we will. We talk enough, so we'll continue that. I appreciate all the work that you do with high school football. Executive director of the WFCA. You do a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Mitch, nice job. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thanks for listening. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by raising the stakes, fundraising, and leadership development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.